Israel takes the win. And this, well, we've had an incident here. The Egyptian walked away, didn't shake hands with his opponent. Well, Sasson went over to shake his hand and he backed off. That's very disappointing. Now, we talk about that's what the Olympics is about. That's what it's not about.
Commentators were very critical of Egyptian judo competitor Islam El Shahabi refusing to shake hands with his Israeli opponent Or Sasson at the Rio Olympics. El Shahabi, though, said his refusal to shake hands was not an act of unsportsmanship, but a political protest. He said he has no problem with Jewish people or any other religion, but for personal reasons he will not shake hands with anyone from the Israeli state, especially in front of the whole world. El Shahabi was expelled from the Olympics by the organizing committee for unsporting behavior. His action, though, was not the only anti-Israel protest at the Olympics. Saudi judo competitor Jaoud Fahmy withdrew from her first round fight with rumors that it was to avoid meeting an Israeli in the next round. The Lebanese team, meanwhile, refused to allow Israeli athletes on the bus at the Olympic Village. These incidents were criticized as being against the Olympic spirit or anti-Semitic, but advocates for Palestine have said these are part of a broader boycott, divestment and sanctions campaign to isolate Israel from the international community for its treatment of Palestinian people. I spoke to Stuart Rees, Professor Emeritus of Peace and Conflict Studies at Sydney University and former Director of the Sydney Peace Foundation.
The boycott, divestment and sanctions movement is the most significant movement for justice around the world. Everybody whom I know in the Middle East, across American campuses and in Europe and here says it's the only light at the end of a long dark tunnel.
The actions of these athletes at the Olympics against Israel make more sense in a context of an international boycott campaign. Are they effective?
I think in terms of international law and respect for human rights, Israel has become a pariah state. Whether the actions of the athletes in, as it were, boycotting the Israelis was wise, I probably think it didn't help, because that just prompts sort of moral outrage on behalf of an appalling Israeli government. But look, the 70 years of cruelty leading up to those sorts of events, cruelty by the Israelis towards the Palestinian people. So, in a sense, it's not surprising.
It's hard to imagine Australian athletes seeing their sport as such a political act. Is it rare for athletes to take these kind of stands?
Well, I suppose it hasn't happened too many times. I mean, there are significant occasions when the Black Power athletes in the Mexico Olympics raise their fists and the precious establishment has been stigmatizing them ever since. But in terms of respect for human rights or opposition to discrimination, those athletes were correct. I mean, most people spend their lives worrying about the price of pork chops in Woolworths or Coles. It's unusual for people to have the courage to take a stand on issues that really matter.
And what of the International Olympic Committee banning political symbols and sort of suspending people for making political statements? Is it that simple to remove sport and politics and separate them?
Well, look, I mean, given the money and the corruption that's been involved in the Olympics, it's incredibly hypocritical for the Olympic Committee to remove those symbols. I mean, I can see that the international sport or the principles should be above the outrages that go with abuses of human rights, the outrages associated with everyday politics, but it's inevitable that it seeps in. But you wouldn't say that the IOC has a good record.
The unfortunate irony of protests like these happening at the Olympic Games is that the memory still lingers of the 1972 Munich Olympics, when pro-Palestine terrorists snuck into the Olympic Village and took 11 Israeli athletes hostage. All those athletes were eventually killed.
That terrible incident underlined the importance of the language and the philosophy and the practice of non-violence in every walk of life. And that applies to Australian domestic and foreign policy. It applies to Russia and America. It applies to men who commit domestic violence. So if you want to take a lesson from what happened in 1972, I would say it's underlining the importance of nonviolence, which is what the BDS movement is, and it's really about speaking without fear about the Palestinian tragedy.
Palestine, meanwhile, the unofficial nation of 1.7 million people who live under constant military occupation with part of their territory physically blockaded from the outside world, sent its biggest ever team to the Rio Olympics with six athletes competing.